Welcome to the Frontier Banter Podcast.
All right, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Colonel Derek Baird, and I am here with
CSM Bill Pearson.
And this is the Fort Sill Frontier Banter Podcast, episode number 5. And today, we're going to talk strength through support with our Fort Sill award-winning Army Community Service Program. And today, we have three wonderful people that run our program, and I'm going to turn it over to them for some introductions, starting with DJ Monica.
Good morning. My name is Monica Uliberry, and I am the Director of Army Community Service, and I have my two wonderful supervisors, and I will turn it over to them.
Good morning. My name is Zilpa Segura, and I'm the Financial Readiness Program Manager, and I also oversee the Army Emergency Relief Program, and I'm happy to be here.
Awesome.
Good morning. My name is Margarita De Leon, and I'm the Family Advocacy Program Manager.
Awesome. It's great to have you all. So we've got DJ Monica, we've got Miss Margarita, and Miss Zilpa. It's really great. I really appreciate y'all being here today to talk about, I guess this is the second of our two-part series for Army Community Service.
Yes, because we knew, you know, we're doing MWR, but we knew ACS alone is an hour at a minimum because of all you do. We wanted to do a separate one with you because we didn't want to just wrap you up with MWR because it lessens all the stuff that you guys do for Fort Sill.
That's right. So we'll start with Miss Monica here, and the director of our Army Community Service mouthful. I'll just say ACS. I'm just going to start that, right? So let's... Can you tell us about what you do and then and why we do it here for the community?
Well, of course, I am ensure that our award-winning center is providing excellence in customer support.
What award did we win?
We won several, actually, but the biggest one is, of course, passing the certification.
Yeah.
And then we received Commander's Awards. We've been coined. But I really want to fall back to that audit,
yeah,
because that is not an easy feat to complete, and we passed first go around. We didn't have to go into any kind of cap, which I am very proud of.
Yeah.
And it was about a year and a half in preparation to ensure that we did pass.
Yeah, and I wouldn't just say pass. Y'all crushed it, if I remember right.
We worked hard. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's great, and then it's always great when you're a first time go for that, right?
Yes.
So it's awesome. All right. Well, good.
Yeah. So, and then most importantly, one of the key reasons I started my career in family programs is really because I started as a contractor overseas, and as all military spouses, you're looking to get in that door,
yeah,
which I was very fortunate to 2 years later to then get in the GS system within Army Community Service. And so, again, you know, I started there. I took a little stint at U.S. Army Reserve Command in the Family Programs Director, not our ACS, but their version of it, and then came back and joined Fort Sill as the director. But why? Why am I still with ACS? It's making a difference. One of the key terms that I tend to utilize often with my team is the reminder of, we are not here because it's about you. We are here for the soldier and families, for all the service members. And I always tell them, if you lose that, then you've lost your reason and purpose, because all you have to do is go out there, see them PTing, you know, in formation, and that's the good reminder of, okay, this is why I'm here. But then most importantly, how are we elevating our services? How are we getting that service delivery top-notch with today's generation, right? It's not the old school version anymore.
What?
I know. That's how we were all with it. So we've had to learn, and we still are learning how to think and how to change our programming to incorporate the new generation of wanting those services. So
yeah,
the biggest thing is making a difference. How are we making a difference? Of course, one day when I leave, that's the biggest key, is what did I do? How did I incorporate that, my goal, my personal goal and mission, and to always leave an organization better than when you came to it? And then that's a success right there.
It sounds like one of our Fires 50s, right? You know, leave the organization better than you found it, kind of thing.
Yeah.
No, it's really great. No, I really appreciate that. And you know, resonates when you, you know, we saw Major Pierce and I talk about this quite a bit with our vast experience in the Army. We just call it old fuddy duddies.
Yeah,
remember old fuddy duddies. But yeah, you're right. It's like how do you support the soldiers across all ranks, not just soldiers but their families, and even our veteran population, right? Like we get a lot of support from them because they want to continue to serve, if you will, in that capacity by supporting current soldiers and our mission there in the Army Community Service. So I think it's really great. Okay, Margarita, what do you think? So what is it that you do here?
Yeah, so I'm the Family Advocacy Program Manager. The Family Advocacy Program falls under ACS umbrella. And basically our mission is prevention, and it focuses on domestic violence and child abuse through awareness, education, and crisis intervention. So educating the community, the troops, everybody on post about domestic violence and the red flags to look out for, as well as what a healthy relationship looks like. And then, of course, prevention. We do campaigns. In April, we have Child Abuse Awareness Month that we're gearing up for. But we also focus on crisis intervention. So if an active situation is happening, we have victim advocates that can come out and assist and provide services for them as well. Under the Family Advocacy Program, we also have New Parent Support. And they also cater to military families with young children, expecting parents, and families that have children 0 to 3. From anything from teaching and about what to expect during the pregnancy, after the pregnancy, and then childhood development, what to expect from in those years.
So that's really great.
Yeah, no, I absolutely love New Parent Support because it's a very, very personal support system that comes into your home, in the comfort of your own home, especially when you have children. It's difficult to get them all out of the house, so they come into the home and provide that service for you and support, education, and
I think it's great, especially with, I'll say young, but inexperienced parents, right? Like first-time parents, first-time having a child. I mean, there's no license you get to learn to be a parent, you know, a lot of times, you know, right? There's classes for sure, but the good thing is it's free, right?
Absolutely. Like, And we definitely have unique challenges within the military. We have deployments, constant relocation, and then a high tempo for our service members. So navigating those challenges as a new spouse or expecting parent can be very difficult. So having that extra support, that's where we come in.
Yeah, I would imagine, too, as like dual military couples, like that can be really challenging, even just day-to-day, right? Mm-hmm. And so having y'all's program teaching, you know, parents, you know, again, across all ranks. And I think sometimes we think it's just lower enlisted soldiers, but let's face it, it's so in your purview, like, what are you seeing? You're seeing it across all the ranks,
All the ranks. Of course, as I'm going to piggyback off what Ms. Monica said, the new generation, we have communication skills that may be lacking, right? So we come in and also teach, you know, that emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
Because that can also put a strain in that relationship. Let's not talk about video gaming. You know, that's a whole different level of challenges that families are currently facing.
So since you said piggyback, I'm going to have to hit the Sergeant Major trifecta and caveat and then behoove everyone to do something. So I think New Parent Support is probably the most underutilized program on Fort Sill, if not the Army. Because, you know, when I had my daughter with Tamara, we were, 29, 30 years old. And that was hard. So I can't imagine being 20. Like, when I was 20, I could barely take care of myself and not be, you know, a dumb specialist when I came in, let alone an E7 and in my 30s. I've had a couple of people that have used New Parent Support and absolutely praised it. Besides me preaching at Fort Sill, do you have any better ideas of how we could help promote it better?
Yeah, so right now, so luckily our staff is growing. Mm-hmm. Currently now we're up to, I think, 5, and then we have one last one onboarding as well. So we'll have a full staff here within the next 2 months. But currently we have 3 new parent support specialists, and then we definitely want to push them out into the community. We have them sometimes do outreach at the clinic, but we are wanting to focus more outreach in the commissaries around pay periods.
Yeah.
That way they can push out that information, PX. It's really difficult, and of course town halls, participating in that as well and providing that information. But we're definitely trying to put our heads together now that we have a full team to see how we can better communicate the information and resources that we have to the people that are in the homes and not coming out as much.
Because, you know, we sit through all the incident determination committees, which is, for the listeners, that's every case with child neglect, domestic violence, all those, I think a lot of those would be reduced if they use new parent support.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just hard being a new parent when you're 20 and you're trying to figure out life and you're making the paycheck of an E3, E2.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think that just leads to a lot of stress in the home that's led to a lot of cases that we see in the IDC.
Yeah, having young parents, young children in the home raises the risk of, again, communication. Mm-hmm. And then expectations, setting realistic expectations of what your partner can provide into the relationship as well in that relationship of parenting. So we definitely want to come into the homes and provide that information for everyone.
You know, that's mm-hmm. something I hope this episode helps with too, because, you know, growing as a leader, you know, as an E7 and below, FAP was like a dirty word. No, but
yes.
You know, when you're a battery commander,
first
you
know,
like, oh, don't let FAP come into your organization. And then as you grow, FAP's there to help these families, and it's not the enemy. They're actually can help you get left of a lot of problems.
The preventative part of it, I mean, all of it's great, but I think the really underutilized part is the preventative part, like you were saying, right? Like, why, you know. I was a battery commander. Most of my, like 99% of my time was deployed. But then, you know, with the SFRGs or whatever we were calling it back then, you know, having, you know, it would have been better to, you know, if we'd have thought about probably instead of, and we were really mission focused, obviously, but then if you think back, having the family advocacy program or the Army Community Service and the financial piece of it, you know, I would offer up for SFRGs. Hey, bring them in, talk them, maybe have a class. Because like, sometimes pride is the number one killer, I think, in mm-hmm. some regards with type A personalities, which a lot of us are. Like, I don't need that. But in the back of our mind, we really know that we need it. But maybe like command teams, SFRGs, hey, let's bring folks in and sit down and have a class. Because,
right.
you know, or just sometimes a one-on-one, you know, because people are very prideful. They don't want to be seen going to like group stuff, you know, but... But they can do that one-on-one with y'all, right?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So we offer monthly classes that talk both about healthy relationships, communication skills, stress management.
Yeah.
And I know that group settings might be intimidating for some people, but no, absolutely, we can do individual. And I actually prefer individual because we can definitely target your concerns specifically.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we can definitely do one-on-one at request.
You know, and I'll shift it over here to Zilpa here because we talk about financial readiness. And so I've got a nephew who is just turned, I think, 19. He joined the Marines in September. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the Marine, jarheads, whatever. You know, eating crayons. It's all good stuff. We love our devil dogs. But, you know, I was trying to get him to come to Fort Sill to be an FA, an FA dude, you know, because, like, why not, right? It'd be great. But he's going to be an MP. You know, it's kind of fun, right? But so I've talked to him a lot about financial readiness and said, hey, you know, if I had done it again as a young soldier, I would have invested a little bit more of my money earlier than I really started. Because I think a lot of folks don't realize if they budget right, you know, and they do, and, you know, not everybody, but yeah, I would say if you budget right and you really know what you're looking at, you can start, you know, 20 bucks here, 20 bucks there, compounds over time, and you can do better at it. So we've talked to him about financial readiness and what that looks like. My brother and I, you know, my sister, who's his mom, you know, so we're trying to help this young man, like, really learn what it means to be financially ready for that future. So, and so with that, you know, so to Zilba, to you, so I'll just kind of open that up. Like, what are your thoughts on that as we look at, like, financial readiness, what your program does to help soldiers out, and then, you know, Absolutely. What are some things, advice for young soldiers? And when I say soldiers, like, young officers too, and old fuddy duddies sometimes need this again.
Absolutely,
you know?
Yes. Well, financial readiness, again, with all our ACS programs, it's about prevention mm-hmm. and providing the education to our young soldiers and our senior enlisted. So mm-hmm. we've got a lot of classes that we're offering on a, you know, weekly basis, and we're certainly working with the command group because one of our biggest goals, of course, is supporting the command with the retention figures, because we know when soldiers make better financial decisions and their stressors are alleviated, then you have a soldier that wants to stay in the military.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where AER also comes in, because with Army Emergency Relief, our support in providing financial assistance in form of grants and interest-free loans, that definitely alleviates a lot of financial stressors.
And we're a, we say award-winning back Army community, so like
back to back,
2 years running,
right? So how good are we, right?
Absolutely. I think our AER officers are doing an absolutely wonderful job working with the command team, because I really think that the commanders, such as yourselves, I think, you know, when you tie both the energies that are required, I think that makes a bigger difference when we're talking about soldiers understanding the purpose of AER.
I mean, I think we crushed the, I mean, we had a goal that we just crushed that goal. Because, you know, with, like you said, the command, also the Lawton Fort Sill community, we have a huge veteran population that wants to give back, because we've all been there, we've all had to have some sort of support, and just having folks, even non-active duty, participate and give back, and it's really great. 2 years in a row, right? Large installation winners. It shows the support of the community, and it's amazing.
It wasn't until I became, you know, the garrison CSM, do I see holistically how it all intertwines. You know, how many people, if they would have went to AAR and got a loan instead of Loan Shark R Us down on whatever road, was led to more financial problems, which leads to fat cases. Mm-hmm. So that's why this is one of my favorite episodes, because now I see how all of you are intertwined and relate to each other. And so I do, you know, I sign off on a lot of the level twos. What would you say from your purview has led to the most financial issues?
Well, our the highest numbers that we're seeing in financial assistance are for personal vehicle repairs. So a lot of our young soldiers don't have enough monies to cover their vehicle repairs. Housing costs come in second, and also emergency travel, utilities, and food. So a lot of it stem from, you know, not earning enough money, not being able to budget for these important situations that come up. But we certainly, when soldiers come in to receive the assistance, we not only give them the financial assistance, but we sit down with them and we go over a budget and we tell them, look, this is how you can prevent from actually getting into a situation like this again. So, you know, Army Emergency Relief ties in both the education as well. So they're getting the financial assistance, but they're also getting the education to help them overcome the challenge.
Which is huge, because I remember when Monica and I were running around JBLM, I remember one of the biggest issues up there was where there was new stuff called like AFIRM payments and bread payments that you can buy something online, but hey, you get interest free for the next 12 months. Well, kids were doing that 10 times, and now they don't realize they're paying 10 different monthly payments of $24.99 or whatever it is. That and DoorDash. Hey, I DoorDashed 3 meals a day for the last month, and now I can't figure out why I'm broke.
Well, absolutely, and that's what our financial counselors, we do have personal financial counselors that are also supporting our mission. And basically, again, they will spend time with our soldiers going over, you know, how to set up a budget, how to understand an LES, where is, you know, how can you better use your money to make sure that...
Especially for young spouses, too, who don't know what that really looks like, you know, because you know, we're a product of our experience, right? And so, you know, 3 deployments, combat, and I'll say 1 non-combat as part of Operation Atlantic Resolve, we deployed to Poland. And I remember each time, it's just like when we were there, folks were just, you know, because things were cheaper overseas, especially, you know, and I'll use the most recent one, like Poland, for instance, right? I'll just, like it's like 4 zloty for every dollar, right? And so, we had financial classes for families, like, hey, and tell folks, when you get over there, don't outspend your family back home and leave them destitute. Because that was the feedback we were getting when we were deploying there to Poland, was that the folks that were leaving were like, hey, you know, there's a lot of financial hardship for families because, you know, the service members out there in Poland just spending money freely because it's so much cheaper. Right? Like, oh, I can just buy a bunch of stuff now. Like, well, you're still spending money that you don't, that you're, now your family doesn't have. And so that, you know, for those out there that are deploying or about ready to deploy, this is probably a great opportunity, again, for bringing the Army Community Service group together with your soldiers and say, hey, Let's lay out what it looks like for your family. Let's lay out what it looks like for you when you're gone. Because having a split family doesn't mean you get extra money. I mean, you do sometimes, but that still doesn't mean you go out there and just have carte blanche to spend money like it's making it rain on on the TJ Maxx or whatever you're out there spending money on, or DoorDash or whatever,
Absolutely.
So it's just, it's really great. Because I as a young soldier, I got into some, so I don't have credit cards. I have one credit card that's in a safe case, like something happens, like legitimate. Because I, young soldier doing dumb things, right? We all did dumb things. And I got into some debt and I've worked my way out of it, and it's, I got to stop that. Had some friends. I didn't use ACS. I had good friends of mine that were good financial experts, and they were able to kind of help me get through it, which is great. And but would have probably been nice to, check my pride at the door, and go see people. That's why I say that, because we're all, I think oftentimes type A leaders are very prideful people, and we forget to check our pride at the door. Well, right, and that's experience. That's just my experience, at least, and I would wager to say it's a lot of people's experience.
Well, I'd like to say that when we want our soldiers and families to come see us at ACS, almost everyone at ACS has had some sort of experience. I mean, 25 years ago when I first started with ACS, I started off as a volunteer with employment readiness. No. And so my husband was stationed with the 1-1 cap in Germany. And so I just wanted to do something, to help, to give back to the community. And so that's kind of where I started seeing how ACS really makes a difference. Because like you said, I think we've all have had that connection with, those challenges that the military, actually experience in the military. So going back to, what is the interest, how did I become interested in becoming a financial counselor? It was that 25 years ago, seeing how ACS was able to make a difference in our military families, I thought, wow, what an opportunity to continue that as a financial counselor. And we have, in our team, we have employees that are retirees, and they understand, what it is to be in the military. So when we are meeting with clients, we don't place any judgments on anyone, because we understand that with the military, sometimes they have to deal with these challenges. So we want soldiers to come in, families to come in and feel comfortable that they can share their information, and it won't go anywhere. We're bound by confidential and privacy standards, so they can share and their information won't go anywhere. And I think that makes a difference in trying to also, help soldiers and families feel comfortable about how they're going to improve their situation too. So we want them to, like I said, come in and talk to us, ask the questions. We talk to a lot of soldiers about the Thrift Savings Plan. Retirement planning is a big thing right now. So I know the TSP is one of those things that is kind of sometimes hard to understand, but it's not that difficult when you spend a little bit of time with the experts. So
it's funny you say the retirement piece. Like, so our Major Pearson and I, we are closer to retirement than we are enlisting in the Army. Let's face it, right? Like, we've been in there. But I remember as young specialist Baird, in the Army, and someone talked, hey, you need a safe retirement. And you're like, dude, that is so far away, and that is like not even in my radar. That is not even on my radar.
And now we're like, oh, I should have listened.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what goes back to what I'm telling my young nephew. It's like, hey, bro, your Uncle Tom and I have been doing this for a while, and recommend that you start early, because I think I started there about 4 or 5 years after I joined the Army for a little bit. Then I stopped, and then you had to reinvest, and just easier when you start early. But it's not easy when you don't have a lot of money to start. Believe me, I know, right? And we all know, we've done it. It's just that it's just a discipline to continue to do it, because it will pay dividends in the end. It's hard to see it when you first start. And so I like what you're saying there. It's like, hey, new parents, new this, new that. Like, it's very difficult, but a little bit goes a long way over time. And it's hard to fathom that when you just can't see the end until you're old people, old grizzled veterans.
Well, you blink your eye and you're there.
Yeah.
It's facts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? Like, something like 10 years ago, I was doing what? Where did that time go, So, or longer, I guess.
So what do you say are some upcoming ACS initiatives?
Well, it's funny you should ask because we have a bunch. One of the, well, we have campaigns coming up, but I'll let Margarita expand on those, and then of course, Zilpa. But we have the Volunteer of the Year recognition ceremony on 17 April. That's at 5:30 at the Patriot Club. So we are seeking nominations from units and organizations. The deadline is fast approaching, 28 February. And in order to do so, they can reach out to ACS. We can send them the link. It is an online system, and you can always reach ACS at 580-442-4916. Upon receiving all the nominations, then we have a panel that will be reviewing them. And then, of course, we will prepare and have that ceremony at the Patriot Club, which we are really looking forward to.
So folks also can go online, right, and see we're posting some of these things as well, like, hey.
Yes, our social media. We have the Fort Sill Army Community Service Facebook page. I do know that the Garrison tags, and so does MWR.
That's
so
right.
They will, in a whole pool, our posts over.
And so VMIS is important for this, right? The volunteer
VMIS.
Whatever the volunteer something
volunteer
something.
Management installation system or information.
Sounds great.
So since
there we go.
That thing. Since VMIS is the bane of my existence, and I say that because
we love VMIS. What are you talking
about? I get asked about VMIS everywhere I go, and why the Army still uses it, and if it's coming up with a new method of logging volunteer hours. Do you see anything on the horizon?
Well, you know, that was one of our AFAP issues, that, and it's not just Fort Sill's AFAP issue, it's other installations that are seeking something different, something new and improved, handheld for the phone.
Like an app?
Really, right?
Is this new, this app thing? Never heard of this. What is an app?
Exactly.
Is there a store for that?
I'm telling you, they need, it is, they are so aware of it.
Yeah.
It's just, it's something that we are hopeful for.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, we do have our staff that can go out to the OPOCs and train them in VMIS. These are the organizational POCs.
Oh.
So every unit and organization should have a volunteer POC.
Yeah.
And then again, we do train one-on-one for our volunteers. This is how you, once you understand the system, it's easily to get in, record your time, and have your time certified. But it's just that going in the system and doing it is getting folks to really, they don't, understanding the importance of doing so. Because Big Army can take a look at all of these hours, calculate the time, the money that it saved Big Army. And we're talking millions of their time. And so in implementing their time, it really, really helps because it shows the Army just how much contribution per installation. And a lot of them are like, oh, I don't need to get credit. Well, it's not just about that. It's about having the stats, the quantifiable data to show the purpose and the effectiveness of the program.
Yeah, and it's good too, like, again, with you, I like to do volunteer work. I just don't like to let people know I do it.
Yep.
I mean, because, again, those are one of the things. It's a private thing, if you will, for people. And I do appreciate that. But you know what I really think, you know, Sergeant Major has hit on this a couple times, and a couple of times, is our BOSS program does a lot of volunteer work. And they do an amazing amount of work. And we get an amazing amount of work from a lot of our families here, whether it's off-post or on-post. And it matters. Again, it goes back to giving back to the community of your own good free will and time. And it's just, you know, soldiers helping soldiers, families helping families, you know, people doing good stuff by other people, you know, good Samaritans stuff. It's really great. Yeah.
It's a great way to increase skill sets. It is a wonderful way for organizations to receive our talented spouses that have a lot of skill sets that can provide the organization. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we can learn from them. And so that's where you have those families that, you know, maybe can't take on a full-time job. So they just want to do something and then increase skill sets. And then potentially when they are able to, it leads to a full-time federal.
I mean, Zilpa was a volunteer, exactly. And like now she's a freaking crushing as a manager. I mean, that's absolutely amazing, right? Yes,
and we've had soldiers, right? Mm-hmm. So some of our staff members used to be soldiers volunteering, and that's how they got into ACS. Mm-hmm. Is once they retired, then they were able to go in and apply and have the qualifications because they worked there.
Right, and they know, like Sergeant Major said, now you kind of. Now he sees how it all is integrated and linked together and like the full support. It's a team of teams. So, yeah.
We've had many of our volunteer spouses go on to federal service. We have one in Germany who got into the federal system because she was working with us, got her skill sets. We were able to, send good references her way.
Oh, that's awesome.
She's now in the system. Yeah.
It's a great way to fill in those gaps on that resume.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm with you 100%. So what about for you guys? Like the next anything coming up for y'all?
Yeah, so we are gearing up for April, which is our big month campaigning for Child Abuse Awareness Month. We have the Superhero Ball happening on the 10th. That's going
to
be at the
Somebody Center. Asked me to dress up as a superhero.
Absolutely. Please do and Ooh, come what on superhero down. Are you I'm gonna
sure I cannot give that away. You'll have to show up and find out.
Absolutely, yeah. So we're
Sergeant Major's going to show up as we'll figure it out. It'll be like a big troglodyte, maybe a troll.
Okay,
that makes sloth. Sense. That checks. Oh, Goonie sloth. Yes,
that checks.
Batman and Robin, right?
Oh, I am for sure Batman.
No, I'm definitely Robin.
Oh my gosh, no.
Yeah, we're super excited about it. We're going to have activities for them, face painting. We're going to have organizations come and provide an activity as well as resources. So it's going to be a great opportunity for people to know what's going on in the community, resources available, not just on Fort Sill, but also in our Lawton community.
That's awesome.
So, I'm looking forward to it. And then, of course, we're going to have other smaller events happening throughout the military base, such as Paint It Up. For kids, we're going to have that. We're going to be going into the youth center and talking about healthy boundaries as well. That way children also know, again, it's Child Abuse Awareness Month, and it's important for children to know what's okay and what's not okay and what their boundaries are. We'll be out in the community a lot in April.
Oh, that's really great.
And of course, look out for our Pinwheel Gardens because they will be all over the place.
Pinwheel Gardens. Yes. All right. What is that? What is a pinwheel garden?
This year we are, I know typically all the military bases provide Pinwheel Gardens throughout the military base. For us this year, we're actually going to have a number, and it's going to represent the children that we have provided services for.
Uh-huh.
So throughout the year, so that's what our gardens will represent.
And are they just in one location, or are they?
So we plan on having them at the clinic in front of the ACS building, and we are looking at other spots to have those at.
Oh, that's really great. That's awesome. Yeah. And I know the big one coming up here next month.
Yes, on the 5th of March, which is a Wednesday, we're having our AER campaign kickoff at the Bowling Center. So
Twin Oaks Bowling Center,
Yes, sir.
All right.
And we're having free pizza, free drinks for the units that want to participate. And we're also going to be awarding the unit that scores the highest with a trophy. So we want all the units to come in and support our AER campaign. It's our kickoff for another successful campaign where we want soldiers to know about AER and how to use AER because it's really beneficial for our soldiers and families overall. Like I mentioned earlier, AER is about helping during unexpected events, and it's offering interest-free loans, grants, scholarships. We provide grants for all different type of needs, medical needs, food assistance. You just never know whenever an unexpected event comes up. But we encourage soldiers to learn more about AER and how they can use it.
So that everyone talks about the grants and the assistance you provide, but if someone wants to apply for the scholarship, how do they do that?
So the scholarship information and application is online with armyemergencyrelief.org. So they can go online. They'll have to have their FAFSA completed. They'll upload that, and it's a one-pager application. They'll upload that information, and then it'll go directly to headquarters.
Because since I've been doing this job, have you found out about how many scholarships are out there with upteen different organizations that say, like, if people just apply, they'll get it, because nobody ever applies.
Absolutely. Last year, Fort Sill alone received over $300,000 for spouses that applied, and we could have done more.
Goodness gracious. Are you serious?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes. So we want spouses to use it because it's there for them, and it's for dependent children as well. So.
And so for the scholarships, I assume it's for college or trade schools or you know, those kinds of...
It's for a bachelor's degree only. And I believe it's also for vocational training.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, this is the beauty, right? Because we're all linked together. We have a great vo-tech, if you will, vocational training. Those are the Great Plains, right? Great Plains out there.
Great Plains Technology.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, like, there's a lot of, especially here at Fort Sill, there's a lot of places you can use that scholarship or online or whatever it is for you. Any little bit helps, right? $300,000
is a lot. It's free money. Yeah. So, you know, you can't beat that.
Yeah. Sure. Filling out a piece of paper. That's easy to do. One page. Even I can do that. If I can do it, anybody can do it. I can tell you that right now.
And just for people who are new to AAR, say I needed an AAR loan. How fast is the flash of bang from I apply to money in my hand or account?
Sir, it's a very quick process as long as all the documents are provided. So with AER, we also have to maintain accountability. We use, you know, documentation to verify the specific need. So once the documents are reviewed by the AER officer, it shouldn't take more than an hour to process it. Sometimes it may take a little bit longer if it requires additional review or authorization by the command group or AER headquarters, but no more than 24 hours. So it's a quick process. The application is very simple to complete. We have staff that can help to help the family member or the service member complete it. Very simple, like I said, very easy to use.
Yeah, you know what, here's why I like what we're doing is, you know, Sergeant Major Pearson does all of that. You know, he, for our garrison command team, he is the adjudicator, at least the decision maker for at our level. And I appreciate that because I just think that oftentimes as commanders, we think that we have to do everything. Like, no, we delegate authorities for a reason, right? And we've got a Sergeant Major that is absolutely qualified to assist in that regard. And I, so for all the command sergeants majors out there, if you're not doing that, do that. Like these, I mean, I don't know, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, plus as a sergeant major helps you keep a pulse on the installation as well.
Yeah.
And I can say since I've been here, which is right around 18 months, I've said no to one level two.
And what's the difference between the levels?
So level two, so anything from $2,001 to I think it's $5,000 comes to me. I've said no to one, and that was a guy who wife emptied the account and left because he was just going crazy at a casino, just spending cash like it was 50 cent. So I said no because obviously somebody who has a bad gambling addiction, giving him more money wasn't the answer. So that was the one time I've said no. But we also got him help in other ways to help him with his problem. So it wasn't like he was just left starving, sleeping in his car either. But 99% of the time, I'm taking the recommendation of Zilpa's people. They do their due diligence. It's an incredible team. And like I said, I don't sit on them either. The minute I get them, I review it real quick. Mm-hmm. Within 5 minutes, I'm signing the thing, and it's back to Zilpa's crew.
Yeah.
But yeah, as a sergeant major, it helps you keep a pulse on Fort Sill and where the problem areas are. Because like any other military area, you got your payday loans for 38% interest. It's combating that. As a sergeant major, it should be your job to promote AR to prevent everybody from doing these silly loans. Hey, go get a grant to get your head above water.
Yeah.
Drowning yourself more with a 38% interest loan.
Yeah. And then you can also financial assistance in not just the monetary value of, you know, that we're providing, but
the education.
The education. Yes. You know,
again, ideally you receive that information and get better at it. Yeah, some mm-hmm. people are better at it than others. I got it. We're all hard-headed at some point. But so last year we raised $211,000 plus dollars, mm-hmm. right? And I think our goal was 100 something.
150,000.
Yeah, so again, crushed it. Oh, it's ridiculous. It's amazing. What's our goal this year?
It's also 150,000.
So we want to get more than 211,000, right?
Yes, we're looking forward to more than last year. So
we love, isn't it Army birthday?
Yeah.
So
250. Like, yeah,
that's
250.
Yeah. 250,000 is what ACS.
Yeah.
Overall is the goal for the installations. Now, because we've already won two years in a row. You know, I could definitely see us achieving that. Some other installations
sure.
that are not that have never reached a potential level of yeah. receiving awards. But I think 250 is a good goal.
You know,
So my goal is easily 300.
Always, right?
So I went TDY with some of your people to the AR training, if you will, and one getting recognized by the SMA for
yeah
your guys just doing incredible work. Part of it, you listen to other garrisons and what they've done and what their success stories are, and I'm definitely bringing one in this year where they actually had a Mortal Kombat tournament with the soldiers.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
And if you died, the only way to get back in the tournament was to donate to AR. And they said that just skyrocketed donations. They still didn't touch us, of course. But I think that's another way. I think with this generation doing something like that,
oh, yeah.
you just do it every Saturday at the Page Club on a big screen, I think it'll just... We'll...
Yeah, donations are great, right? It's all about donation base. You know, and, you know, what I love competition, right? Competition breeds excellence. One, hey, everybody's always looking to knock you off the top of the rung, right there. Oh. You know, and so we got to keep going and got to get better and better. But two, just the amazing support of this community mm-hmm. is just, we sit on city council. We talk to a lot of the veterans groups here. You know, everybody's always willing to support, you know, current active duty or National Guard, you know, Combo 1, Combo 2, Combo 3 soldiers so that we can support each other. And so I'm excited about this next campaign. You know, Sergeant Major and I want to sit up there and go to AUSA again in the fall with Team AER and receive that large installation award because it goes back to people supporting people, you know, and that is the, I think, to me, is probably the biggest biggest contribution is people supporting people, and this is the best way to do it, I think.
Well, they don't understand how hard it is to achieve that number one installation.
My word, right?
It is that the team puts in numerous hours.
Yeah.
Going to formations, going on Saturdays.
Yeah.
They are out there with the soldiers, encouraging, explaining. And so that is where, if we had a bigger team, I can only imagine where we would be. Because what we
right.
do have, they are so dedicated and so competitive that it is their goal
yeah.
to continuously climb that
and it really helps that General Brooks is a huge supporter. Sergeant Major Sartain is a huge supporter. He tells the story when he used AR when he was a young soldier. So it helps also remove the stigma of using AR. Like,
yeah.
use AR, not the silly loans.
Yeah. And again, check your pride at the door.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's like me going to the gym. I just check my pride at the door. I like to say, Bill Beast Mode Pearson here, he doesn't worry about that. But, you know, I get in there, I'm like, oh, my God, I gotta show up today, right? Mm-hmm. You know, but there's always someone stronger and faster, right? So you got to check mm-hmm. your pride at the door. It's the same with when if you're having challenges, check your pride at the door. You've got three wonderful human beings right here and the really great support cast that can help each other out or help out our families, help out our soldiers of all ranks and ages because we all need it at some point. Mm-hmm. So check your pride. Everybody out there listening, check your pride. Pride comes before the fall, right? And you got to just check that pride so you don't fall flat on your face. I mean, you fall flat on your face, we'll still help, but...
Well, and they need to
It's free! Don't fall on your face! It's free!
Everything with Army Community Services is free, and it really should be that one-stop shop.
Yeah.
It should be, you have an issue, you come to ACS.
And it's at Building 4700, that's our one-stop shop, right?
Yep, and if we don't have the service or resources, we refer you on. But ensure
that's right.
that you're going to get considered, you're going to get assisted. And I think one of the key attributes that I hear all the time is when those families come in, sometimes they're stressed, sometimes they're crying. But when they leave, they're laughing and their gratitude and the thanks. Because now they have received resources, maybe not everything that they had hoped or intended, but we're getting them on the right footing so that they can. And most importantly, educating, right? Knowledge is power. Informing those families, if receiving assistance or coming to ACS, they're getting the information to make the informed decision so that they're not out there making those bad decisions that always bring them in. And it's not just making bad decisions. You know, we have some really great events. And we like to always include our community to thank them, like our ACS birthday bash. And this will be 25 July. ACS is, it's our 60th birthday bash.
Wow, that's a big deal. We got to get that going, huh?
We got to get that whole carnival theme, inviting the community. That is where we also like to give back and show our thanks.
You know, I like the this past Christmas season. You know, we had the Santa Claus and Miss... Who's a Sarah Gerspa is Mrs. Claus, you know.
The Grinch.
The Grinch, yeah, was out there. What I liked is out there at ACS, right, the Army Community Service, all those folks, there were a ton of people that came there, all smiles. What I really thought was really great was the team was also asking if there was support that they could, and you could see people walking into the cubicles, say, hey, I need this. So it was really great. So it was a really positive event, not just for the children, and for Sergeant Major, I to get a picture of Santa Claus because you have to. It's so awesome.
It is.
Right? But, and the Grinch because why not, right? But it was really great for families to really also and just realize there's a bigger support structure. And what you said, too, is it's a team of teams, not just the Fort Sill, or not only the Fort Sill Army Community Service team, but the team of teams above and beyond that. And then out in the Lawton community, you know, Lawton surrounding communities, we tie in very well with them. So that is super important.
Yeah, so since I know we're getting close to our hour, I hope you've been getting an uptick of people visiting you. Because you and I have said it before, you become a garrison commander or garrison CSM, and the first thing you say a couple of months in is like, yeah, if I would have known this as a first sergeant commander, I would have crushed it.
Or as a soldier.
Especially as a soldier.
And again, as a enlisted or an officer, it doesn't matter.
But, you know, so I talk at the Commander First Sergeant course, and I jump up and down. I have a bunch of slides, but I always skip to the ACS slide. And I tell everybody, if these three ladies aren't your best friend, as soon as you take the guide on, you are failing yourself.
And your organization.
Because it's... I was like, Monica and her team can get you left of problems, not reactionary to That's problems. Right. So I'm hoping you're seeing an uptick of commanders coming to visit you. Because I sit there, I'm like, if you're not writing her name and number down right now, if you don't know who Margarita is, if you don't know who Zilpa is, you're like, you are failing yourself. Some of them are just zoned out listening to another speaker. Others are writing down the names and numbers. So I'm hoping you're all seeing an uptick.
Yeah.
But again, for the listeners, if you are a leader and you don't go to ACS right now just to introduce yourself and establish that relationship, you are just failing yourself.
No, I'm with you. Okay, so for my final thought here is as we close out, I want to say thank you all again very much. I really appreciate all that each and one of you do and your team for the community writ large. I think it's absolutely amazing. And like I echo what Sergeant Major just said is, you know, as a young soldier, as an enlisted soldier and as a young officer, would have been great for me to realize what the Army Community Service really provided. You know, as a young hard charger, just ready to get after it. You know, again, not checking your pride at the door, could have probably like saved my own. For me personally, probably would have saved some heartache, but also like getting people, other folks that under your tutelage and mentorship to get in there, you know, in your command. But all right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to the Fort Sill Frontier Banter Podcast number 5 with our wonderful Army Community Service team. Thank you all very much. See you all on the high ground.